Be'ez Hashem Yisbaruch, we begin Perek Shisha Asa, the 16th Perek in Hilchas Ishes, in the laws of marriage from the Sefer Noshan from the Rambam, which continues on the theme of the previous Perakim regarding, as we spoke about, getting engaged and getting married and the marital obligations. And then one of the prerequisites, which is at the dissolution when the marriage is over, that of the collection of her kusuba. Some ideas that Rambam is going to discuss in this Perek, in the 16th Perek, is what is a kusuba, which is the marital document of the obligations the husband had to the wife, and also that of nedunya, which is also an element of the dowry, but which is actually what the woman brings in. Although it's written in the ksuba document, it's what she brings into the marriage, which there's two types. There's nechsei tzer barzel, which is the iron sheep type of properties, which he takes responsibility for. Nechsei melug, which are properties that she has responsibility for, which are her own, but he gets to get some benefits from it. The perayin of the ksuba, the payment of the ksuba, and the shvur, the oath that has to be taken from the woman. Mosn habanis is the obligation from the father to sustain his daughters. The takanas ha-goinim, the institution of the goinim, that a ksuba could be collected from a tatlan, from movable items. The halacha before there's an oath taken, and also how do we make her take an oath? What type of oath do we make her take? Regarding the halach of yichlo karka b'ksubasa, if we designate land for her ksuba, hapagemes ksubasa, the law, if she creates a deficiency in her ksuba, regarding if she's nefras, if she collects shalai b'fonav when he's not there, or hapeches ksubasa, or if she diminishes her ksuba. What's the halach in the place where they do not write a ksuba, of she increasing ksuba? Until how long gaiva could she collect her ksuba? What's if she says that I was married as a basula, and the Yershim say, no, you're married as a ba'ula? If a minor is believed to say, when he's an adult, what he had seen when he was a minor, what's the halacha if she brings a ksuba without a get, or a get without a ksuba? What's the halacha if she has two gitten, two divorce documents, and two ksubas, and two ksubas? So we begin 16 perek, halacha aleph. The Rambam opens up regarding that which is included in the ksuba, but has a different halacha, that of what the woman's properties are. Says the properties that a woman brings in to her husband when she gets married, bein karka, bein matadlam, bein avadim, whether it's land or movable items or slaves, although it's written in that same ksuba document when they get married, in the kram ksuba, in halacha, that's not called, quote-unquote, the ksuba, el nedunya shmam, its name is called the nedunya, which is, there are similar words in English that said the dowry, and they're all written in that document, but there's a different halacha where, although this is the husband has to make sure the wife gets this when the marriage is over, there's a different halacha. Now, as the Rambam explains, there's two types of nedunya, which is what the woman brings into the marriage, which again she gets this when she leaves, but that's different than ksuba, which he's giving on his own monies to her. So says the Rambam, v'im kibul abal, if the husband accepts achrayus on nedunya, love, the responsibility, he ensures whatever these properties the woman's bringing to the marriage, v'nas b'shus, now it's like part of his property. So in pachasa, if it diminishes in value, or if something happens to it, pachasalai, it's a loss for him, and it's his obligation. And when he divorces her, he has to compensate her for whatever the losses were, for whatever the value was when they got married. Then misir, but if it goes up in value, misir alai, the gain is to him. Hariza in the Christ, this type of nedunya is called nichsi tzern basel, the properties of the iron sheep. Now, the reason for that is because the principle is retained like that of iron, where no matter what happens to it, he has to go ahead and compensate her. The reason why they called it Tzern Basel is because the custom was that they used to evaluate the sheep. And they used to do that where the shepherd would take responsibility according to the evaluation, even if all the sheep would die. So that's why these properties that the husband takes responsibility is called Nichsi Tzern Basel, the properties of the iron sheep. Now, Vim Loi Kibla Chreis in the Dunya Lab, but if he doesn't accept responsibility for this, which the woman is bringing into the marriage and he's getting to use, but he's not insuring her, rather, it remains in the domain of the woman. So, if it goes down, it's a loss for her. If it goes up, it's a gain for her. That's called nichsei meloig, which the word meloig means like plucking of the hair of the head, and you just leave the head. So, too, the husband has the rights to called eating the payers, to use the produce to have the benefits, but he leaves the principal, and that he has no rights in. So, that's like plucking. That's those properties called nichsei meloig. So those two types are part of the nedunya, and that's different than the halacha of the ksuba. Ram continues halacha base. He says, v'chein, and also, kol nechasim shesh le'isha. All the properties that the woman has, sh'leichnisa isim labala, that she did not bring in to her husband. V'lekaswa isim b'ksuba. It wasn't even written in the ksuba document. So it wasn't like she brought it to her husband and it's written in ksuba. El nishol asma, she retains it for herself. Oy, nafalo b'yirusha achshinasas, or it's not that she brought it into the marriage but kept it for herself. She actually only inherited it after they were already engaged. Or someone gifted it to her when they were married. Hakonikran, that's all including the category of nixi maloig. Shakulim b'shusahim, where they're all in her domain. And the husband has no rights to deplete those properties. Rather, just like nixi maloig, he has the rights to use the produce and to have benefit from it. The ainik kran ksuba, and this is Rambam is qualifying here in these two halachas. It's not called, quote, the ksuba, ela ikr ksuba. Rather, the primary ksuba, shehu, that is meyar mesayim, which that's the 100 or 200, depending if she's almana or besula, imatei sevez bavad, with the additions that he's adding on, only that is, quote unquote, in the name of the ksuba. Because what the Chum instituted, that the husband should give the wife, that's called ksuba. What the woman brings in from her own, that's more than just a ksuba, and that's like a regular debt that he owes her because it was her monies, not something that he's just giving her because of the marriage. Now, the Rambam continues in Halacha Gimel, where the rabbinic institution regarding the collection of the woman's ksuba. Says the Rambam, Kavar Hagdanu, says we already explained this in Perek Yud, Shachacham Tikna Ksuba Lisha. It was a rabbinic institution, this whole idea of the ksuba, which the Rambam sheet, and the halacha of the addition, they made it the same thing as part of the primary. You're just adding on. Now, but she cannot collect it whenever she wants to. It's like a debt which has a certain date that it has to mature. And therefore the ksuba cannot be collected. Only two ways. Either the husband dies, or if he divorces her. So to the instituted, so there's certain qualifications that are unique to that of the ksuba. And that's what Rambam is qualifying. What's the ksuba and what's the nidunya? Says they also instituted that the husband has saw these fields that are tevis arois, good and bad ones, obeyness and medium grade. And now the woman's coming to collect her ksuba from his properties. She only gets to collect from the inferior lands that he has. And we're not concerned that that's going to prevent women from getting married, because like the Gemara tells us in Gittin, that more than a man wants to marry, a woman wants to marry, so she's going to get married. But she wants to make sure that she has some type of security, which she has. But just she's going to get from the lowest great fields. Via the crazy Zibiris is what's called Zibiris, the lowest level of the fields, in contrast to another Balchai, which generally gets that abeyness of the medium grade. Also, the institute, and this is what the Rambam is qualifying over here, the unique halachas of the ksuba and the collection of it. So, to the institute, when she's coming to collect her ksuba after he dies, and specifically after he dies, she cannot collect. Only once she swears by holding a holy object that he didn't leave her anything at all, because she's collecting here from the orphans because he died. That's only with an oath. And she has to also swear b'lei machla ksubasa that she didn't sell him har ksuba. Or b'lei machla isa that she did not, she wasn't meichel, she didn't just forgive and pardon him from the payment of the ksuba. Additionally, b'shamalo kamashala, we also evaluate whatever she has on her, whatever she's wearing, and we diminish that from the amount of the ksuba that she's coming to collect, because he didn't go ahead and give her all these things with the intention of just leaving with it. So therefore, whatever he gave her is taken off from the amount of the ksuba. But that's if he died, which is one of the two ways that she collects the ksuba. But if he willingly divorced her, in contrast, there are certain cases that we force him to divorce her, but also in contrast to when he died, where he that wasn't willingly. But if he willingly divorced her, then she collects without an oath, because he knows that in this situation where he if he doesn't, we're talking about where he's not making any counterclaims, he's divorcing her. So here we do not evaluate the garments that she's wearing, because he bought her from Vizaksman and he married her in this. And he wants to go and divorce her. Lohi is not coming from her. So therefore, in this case, she gets to keep all these things and she doesn't have to swear. Now, like we said, but in contrast to the case that we force him to divorce her, as we said in the previous parak, then we would evaluate, like we said over there, because then he's not divorcing her according to his will. But if he's willingly divorcing her, then again, she gets to keep all these things and she doesn't have to swear. And because he knows that if she had, in this case where he's not dead, he knows if she had sold it or had been meichel in the ksuba. And again, he's not counterclaiming, so here she doesn't have to swear and she also gets to keep what's on her. Halacha hei, v'chein yiskin, also they instituted, and again, these are all because we're saying the ksuba is a tikkun rabbanon, so they qualify these unique halachas. Shleitikva halmana, which there is a discussion if it's specifically almana the Rambam saying, or also that of a gerusha, but be that as it may, when the widow comes to collect, she cannot collect ksuba se'ilam la karka. She can only collect her ksuba from that of real estate. Ve'in the government shavach, that's one thing, and not from movable items. Additionally, ve'in the government shavach she'shavach nuchas nachem izabal, she does not collect from the increase of the value of the estate after the husband had passed away. So let's say the ksuba, or the properties were not worth the value of the ksuba when he passed away. But then after he passed away, the property kept on going up, the real estate shot up. She could only collect the amount of the value was worth when the husband passed away. Additionally, the daughters who are also part of the tnai of the ksuba, that they also get fed from the estate. They don't get fed from the estate of the father, and the value that the properties went up after he had passed away. Additionally, and these are many restrictions that we're giving on this allowance of the ksuba. You do not collect from a ksuba, which is generally when a consumer buys the land when the husband's still alive, which, as the Rambam is going to say, in Halacha Yud, those properties are meshubed, are indebted to our ksuba, and those properties that go up value, that because the consumer went and worked on that land, she cannot collect from that value that Likeh had increased its value. Ava although generally a creditor does collect not only that encumbered properties, but also the value that it's worth now because it was increased. But advar melem akulik subahim. These are leniencies in regards to the obligations that the husband has in the payment of a ksuba, which many things we don't give her like a regular machleiv. And it's leniencies regarding the collection of ksuba specifically because, again, more than a man wants to marry, a woman wants to get married, and she didn't really do any major favors over here. In contrast, let's say machleiv, where he loaned the money, so it's not appropriate for him to lose out over here. So therefore then, he could collect from the shevach and from the likeach and so on. In contrast to the isha, where it's just something that he, so to speak, is gifting her, so therefore she has all these limitations and those are leniencies for the husband in regards to the ksuba. Halacha vav, so to continues the Rambam, chemikul ksuba, other leniencies that apply to the ksuba, meaning the leniencies for the husband in regards to the payment of the ksuba, ishatitl isha b'ksubasav napachashe b'matbeas, that the woman should collect her ksuba from the most inferior type of currency. Ketzad, how so? Nasi isha b'makam mecha, let's say he marries the woman in one place. V'gesh b'makam mecha, then in another country is where he divorces her. If the currency of the place where they got married is better than the place of the currency where they're getting divorced, so there's the Mois Mokam Agershon, then they give the more inferior currency of the place where they're getting divorced. If the currency, the place where they're getting divorced, that currency is actually better than the place where they got married, then they give it from the place of where they got married again because the ksuba is rabbinic, so therefore they put this leniency for the husband. Now, but when do we say this? Where it just said in the ksuba the amount of the money, and it didn't specify what type of currency. But if it specified which currency, it said dollar, it said pound, it said something, whether for the primary ksuba or regarding the additions, then it's known to be, like someone who lends his friend a specific coin, then he has to give back exactly as the loan was, like it's explained in Perek Dal, but then you have to give back exactly that currency, that amount of that quantity of that coin. Now, Rambam continues Halacha Zayin regarding the collection of the Gesuba, specifically Tikna Ga'inim. Now, there was something that was instituted at a later point in time by the Ga'inim, that is the period right after the Talmud Bavli, Tikna Ga'inim B'chali Yeshivas. The Ga'inim instituted in all the settled places of the Jewish people, Shatiya Isha Gavik Subasa Achim Maizbala, that the woman could collect the Gesuba after her husband dies, Afmin Amatatlin, even from movable items. And that is because many people generally, their primary business is movable items. And that's what actually a woman relies on. It also, additionally, in those times, post the Talmud, many people didn't have land. And throughout Jewish history, they weren't even allowed to have land. So therefore, since that's the primary assets of a person, so they instituted that the woman could collect the ksuba from a talent. Kedech Shiskin, just like the guy instituted L'Bachayv, a regular creditor, likvas min a talent to collect from movable items of the orphans, because according to biblical law, it's not Meshubah to a creditor. It's only land. But that was when Jewish people had land. now that there's most people, their assets is movable items, so the Gaonim instituted that the collection should be for that too, for Bachayim and also for the Ksuba Sisha. And says the Rambam, and this a custom has spread throughout the majority of the Jewish people. And therefore, also all the other stipulations, the conditions of the Ksuba, the Tanoim, Kulam, Kaksubaim, they all have the halacha like the Ksuba regarding this. And therefore, it applies that they could be collected from movable items like land. Except one exception, which is one of the conditions in the ksuba, that the male sons collect their mother's ksuba, where shleimetzon minig yirushasam pasha b'chal yishuv, is that we didn't find that custom spread throughout the Jewish people, and actually some guy even nullified that halacha. So therefore, regarding that one, I say mamid ma'isal din ha-gemara, that should retain the gemara's law. That they don't inherit their mother's ksuba only from land and not from movable items. Halacha ches. Kfar nahagu b'cholam akayim sheidan v'sheshaman v'shimam. It says, Rambam says, the custom has already been in all the places that we know of and that we have heard about. Sheikhtu b'ksuba, that they read in the ksuba. B'imim akarkoi, b'imim zatatli. They explicitly say, they write that in the ksuba, that the collection should be not only from land, but also from movable items. It says, Rambam, b'dav is the tikkun gadol, and that is a great rectification. And great and understanding and discerning people are the ones that instituted this hanhaga, this minig. Because this is a condition regarding money, where you could even make a stipulation, even in contrast to what the Torah says. As the Rambam had explained, the paragraph of works, so therefore this is going to work, even though halacha of Torah is that the lien is only on karka, you could go ahead and make it on monetary regarding metalin too. The nimtza on the good metalim tonight is this. It comes out if that's what they're writing in the ksuba, that the widow is collecting from movable items, it's because of this stipulation that they're writing in the ksuba lo b'takan zachreinim, not from the later takanim of the geinim. And what's the difference where it's coming from? The Rambam explains in the next halacha, because he says the halacha tez harisha loy kos of kach b'shtar ksuba. Let's say someone did not write this in the ksuba document. Elan nasa stam, rather they just got married. So it sort of depends. If he knew regarding this takana of the ga'inim, so then gaiva, then she could go ahead and collect from metalim, because since he knew the takana, so he was meshabit all his nechasim, even his movable items that are remaining after he dies, because he knew that, and that was included in the ksuba. But v'mlav, if he didn't know about it, or we don't know if he knew about it, so mesyashim b'dam habit, then you really have to contemplate and really think about this a lot. Sheinkoyach b'takanas ga'inim, because it doesn't have the force of a takana of the ga'inim ladun ba, to qualify what's called afa pishlinus barsha, that even though it wasn't specified kidon tanoi ksuba, there's halacha that regarding this, the tanoim of the ksuba, even though it wasn't specified, it wasn't written, the halacha is that it has those halachas automatically. Now, that is Shehim Takana Sassanet Nagadoyla. That's because since it was instituted by the great Sanhedrin, this halacha of the ksuba, so it's an automatic thing, even though it wasn't written in. But regarding the Gainim, although they're great people, but they don't have the same force as the Sanhedrin Nagadoyla, Achenetziba Momen Min Hayarshim, that they should go ahead and be able to take, collect from the inheritors, that you really have to know if that would be the halacha. So that's what I'm saying. That's the great Takana that he mentioned in the previous halacha, that if she's going to collect from the Tanai, which was written in the ksuba, and not from the consecration of the Gainim, you're better off, because that's a definite, because it's written, and that was an explicit Tanai, in contrast to if you're just going based on the Tekan of the Gainim. Halacha Yud. Now the Rambam continues regarding the husband's properties as collateral, as a lien for the woman's ksuba, and also regarding the woman being obligated in taking an oath when she's coming to collect her ksuba. Halacha Yud. Voitik Necham. Again, these are other takanas that the Chum made regarding the collection of the ksuba. That all the assets of the husband should be responsible and should be a guarantor for the ksuba. And I feel like ksuba, and even if the ksuba is the least it could be, which is 100 zuz, that of a almana. And he has land, he has real estate in the thousands of the golden coins. Everything, and there's a lien on for her ksuba. And anything he's going to sell after they got married from his properties, although the sale is obviously valid, he could sell all his properties if he wants to, but she could go ahead and collect from those properties for her ksuba, which her obligation was first before it was sold off, that when he divorced her or when he dies, if she doesn't have any available assets from him because he sold everything, she could collect from any one of those people who bought. Now, Okasha Titriv, however, but when she does collect from the Chasam Shabbatim, from any person who bought, a second party who bought from the husband after they were married, she can only collect with an oath, by holding a holy object, like all creditors, they could only collect with an oath. And why did they institute this idea that all the properties should be have a lien and be collateral to her ksuba? So that her ksuba document should not be light in his eyes, what's called leicht, like, okay, he could just go ahead and divorce her, here, okay, just take it and you're done. No, because all your properties have a lien on it, he's going to think twice before he divorces her. Halacha Yudalf. Kishmashbin bezin oya yershin. So when the courts or the inheritors make her take an oath, Es almana, the widow, kishatoba ligbus ksubasa, when she comes to collect the ksuba, so imashbin oya yershin lebezin. They only make her take an oath out of the court. Why? Why not in court? Neshabati din hayim noim lashbi, because the courts themselves didn't want her to take an oath. They were concerned that maybe she's not going to be so careful on herself when she's coming to take an oath. Because a mother, the housewife, she puts in so much energy and effort, and she's going to say, what did I do? I took a little bit here and there. That's nothing compared to the amount that I worked. And she's going to make an oath. Problem is, an oath has a very stringent halacha. So, but an oath out of the court is a little bit more lenient because it's not made with the name of God. It's made with some type of secondary halacha. And it's not as severe as a full-fledged oath with God's name in the court. So they wanted her to take an oath out of the court so that she doesn't violate such a severe oath. Now, but if the orphans wanted to not make her take an oath to Shmuel, but rather to take a vow, a neder, that's a different halacha, that's not as severe. She could take a vow for them, whatever it is that they want to, where she'll say in front of the court, a vow is, let every food be forbidden on me if I had received anything from my ksuba. And then even if she violates her vow, it's not a severe punishment as it is a false oath. So that they could do in the court. And they make her take his vow in the court. And then she goes and takes her ksuba. Now, halacha yud beis. Let's say the widow dies before she gets to take an oath. Now, she's coming to collect the ksuba, but she didn't take an oath yet. Ein yersheha. Then her inheritance from a different husband cannot be yershin ksubasa klum. They cannot inherit from her ksuba anything. Because she doesn't have a right to collect the ksuba until she takes an oath, and a person cannot bequeath an oath to her children, so they can't make her oath, and there's nothing here to collect, because she can only collect with an oath. Now, the imnisis, let's say she didn't die, but rather she got married to a second husband, before she took an oath, so she could still take the oath after she got married, but then tell us, because she could still collect it whenever she wants to. Now, that's only regarding an oath. Which was the other option, which you could do in court, but you cannot take a vow in the talis and collect, because maybe her husband will nullify her vow, and she'll rely on that, and she'll make an oath falsely, because she knows, okay, I'll just swear, I'm married, my husband could nullify my vow, not an oath, but my vow. The thing is, but if she took a vow before she got married, the second husband cannot nullify that, because a husband cannot nullify a previous made vow. So, if she's not married, so then she could take a vow. But if she's already married, she cannot take a vow because her husband will not, she'll rely on the husband nullifying it, and she's like, okay, great, I can lie, and it's not really a vow. So therefore, she could take an oath but not take a vow. Halacha Yud Gimel. Yichalak Karka B'Ksubasa. Let's say the husband designated land for her to collect from her ksuba. He said, I owe you 100. This land is worth 100. So Bein Sheyichalak B'Arbasa Matzam, whether he designated one of the four sides of the boundaries, which is clearly identifying where the land is, or Beim Metzer Echad, whether he only defined one of the boundaries. In other words, we don't say that since he didn't tell her exactly what the boundaries are, so then she's not really reliant on it. No, as long as he gave her some indicating factor, so she collected a ksuba from that land without taking an oath, because the whole point of the oath is because we're concerned that maybe he already gave her land, gave her money from his pocket, and now she's swearing, here, I want to collect my ksuba, but maybe he already gave her. Here, where he designated this field, this is that what he gave her and designated. So we're not concerned that maybe it's he already paid her, and therefore she could just go ahead and collect straight away from this land. Let's say he wrote for her in the document that certain movable items, my car, my vacuum, whatever it is, the and they're still around, so then it tells us, so she could take them. That is the ones that he had designated. She could take without an oath. And even if they were sold, and then with those funds, other movable items were taken. So let's say it was his car. They sold a Mustang, and now they bought some other car. So the and you know that these second items are from the original monies which were sold. metalim. Lashor, again, she takes them without an oath because that was with the metalim that were designated, and this is what she could collect. Halacha yudal. Habegemes ksubasa. If a woman diminishes her ksuba, loytiparil b'shvu, she can only collect with an oath. As the Rambam explains, Ketzah, what is this habegemes? What's diminishing the ksuba? Let's say she comes to collect the ksuba that there's on it. It says that he owes her 1,000 zuz. Habalim, the husband, however, says niskabaltaka. What do you mean? You accept? You received it all already. V'yemer, she says niskabaltaka. It's not true. I only received this and this amount. Now, someone who's collecting from his friend, they're not so calculated regarding how much they received, but the one who's paying up knows how much they paid up. So here, since she's agreeing that part of it was paid up, maybe all of it was paid up. So therefore, they imposed on her an oath so that she should be precise to know exactly how much it is, because we believe what he's saying. Now, moreover, even if she has witnesses that testify that only she has witnesses on some of it that she collected. In other words, we don't say that, oh, had he really paid her up more, which he's claiming he paid it all up, then there would have been witnesses as it was by the first time. He would have had witnesses by the second time to show that she collected it all. No. And third of all, and even if she's so precise in the calculation, what she took, b'chatzi pruta, all the way down to a half a pruta, again, this is not a proof that you see when she's so precise and therefore she should be able to collect even without an oath. No. All these 3 points, even if you have all these things, she can only take the rest with an oath because, again, the fact that she's agreeing she got some, and usually the one who's paying knows better than the one who got paid, so therefore the rest she'll have to collect with an oath. Now, let's say the husband says, "Niskabal tako, you got the whole ksuba, I already paid you all up." V'yemer, she says, "Niskabal tako, she's not sure, I didn't get anything." V'eid echad meirla, sh'niskabla ko lemixis. And there's one witness who's testifying that she got it all, or at least part of it. So she could only collect the whole ksuba only with that of an oath. Now, what's interesting over here is that this is actually takans chachamim to appease the husband. Because there's one witness, I have this guy, Reuben, he knows. Because this is not your classic oath from the Torah that's what's called Eid Echad, when you have one witness that's showing that it's not like the person saying that you're obligated an oath. Because wherever you have a person taking oath from biblical law, it's what's called Nishbon B'le Mishamim. It's a person who is swearing to defend, not to have to pay. But here, she's swearing and she's actually collecting. So that can't be that Shavuos Eid Echad. Rather, it's a Takanas Chachamim just to appease the husband where, look, I even have someone that's saying, which is not valid, but will at least obligate her in the oath. Halacha design. Hanafrash lebefonav. If if she's coming to collect when her husband's not around. So like the parabash, which you can only collect with an oath. Ketzad haso. So Rambam explains. Let's say someone divorces his wife. Okay, so he's a bachelor, he leaves, he's going all around town. He leaves or goes to another country. So the courts go down to his properties after she takes an oath, because she's swearing and she has her ksuba. And they go and collect her ksuba. But who and him, the husband, is she b'makam rochak? Again, only if he's very far away. It's very difficult for them to go out and notify him, so they just collect it with her oath. But if he's very close by that they can notify him, so they send for him and they notify him, because a person's assets are like his guarantors. Now, when someone lends his friend, you're not going and collect from the guarantor before the borrower. So you have to first go and collect from him, and he's not so far, you could tell him, and only then collect from the guarantor. But if he's not going to come, then then she could swear, and then she go and collect. And the truth is that by regular credit, it's the same thing, because then everyone would borrow, and then leave and go overseas, and no one's going to lend money anymore. So to prevent that, you can go straight away and collect from their assets if they don't come when you call them, and then she could collect after she takes an oath. Halacha yedzayin. Not like we said hapegemes, but this is what's called hapeches ksubasa. The woman reduces her ksuba. Here also here it's actually nifra shalei b'shvu. She collect without an oath. Says Rambam Ketzah, what's this case? Hoytzir shtar ksuba be'elav zuz. Let's say she comes to collect with a ksuba that says she's owed 1,000 zuz. Huaymer, he says niskabal takel. He says you got it all already. She says, it's not true, I didn't get anything. But she says, and this is where it's different, she says, but the truth is, I'm really only owed 500. Unlike the case of Pegemis, where she says that I did receive, let's say, 500 of it. That's called Pegemis. That she has to swear. Here she's not saying, I received 500 of 1,000. He says, the truth is, I always was only owed 500. Vizesha, because we have to, why does it say 1,000 in the ksuba? That's what's called amana haisa beini lebeinoi. There was this concept of amana where the word amana is like, he trusted me, then I'm only going to collect 500. Why do you write 1,000? For a different reason, that it should look like a lot. But really, we made up it's only going to be 500. I raised in the frash, lebeinoi, so here she could collect without an oath, because she has the document. And all she's doing is she's saying, it's not really 1,000, really 500, but not that you paid me up anything. So there's no hapigemsk subasa. There's no type of like, okay, hey, you're agreeing, you paid up something. No, nothing. You never paid me anything. But if she says, but if she says, actually, not that I'm mana, but she says, actually, in the document of my ksuba is only 500. Then actually, with this document that actually says 1,000, she cannot collect anything. She's actually nullifying it. And if she's agreeing that this is false, because she's saying it's not true, it's not 1,000, it's 500. What do you mean? It says 1,000. So you're actually nullifying that. So she actually can't collect with that at all. So now she has nothing. So the husband swears a rabbinic oath, and he's going to exempt himself, like anyone who claims from his friend 100, another one denies the whole thing, which if you're kaveh b'kol, you don't have to swear, but you have to swear a rabbinic oath of shvuas heses. That's what the husband has to do, in contrast to hapecheses, where amana, where she's agreeing to the document, it's just that she's explaining why it's 500 instead of 1,000, then she would collect actually without a shvu. Halacha yitches. Continuing regarding the collection, the payment of the ksuba, says Ram, Kamakam Sharmana, wherever we say Liktipar al Bishvua, that she could only collect with an oath. So what it is Aimul Abbas, and the court tells her, Hishave Itli, swear and then collect. Makam Sharmana, wherever we said Tipar Shlebishwa, like we just said in the previous halacha, she collect without an oath. Aimul Abbas, we tell the husband, Amoit Vitanla, get up and give it to her. Vainatanemit Batainazu, you not believe what the claim that you're making until you bring a proof to what you're saying. She has the document, so therefore she has the right of way. She could collect without an oath. Again, only in certain cases, like we said, we have reason to be concerned, then she has to swear, but if not, then he has to go right away and pay her. Now, but halachi attest, that's regarding the court on their own proceedings. But let's say the husband on his own. He says, we're right, according to basic halacha, we would not make her swear. But he says, Tishavli atanasi, I want you to swear regarding the claim that I'm making. Then the courts do tell her, Hishavitli. Then you still have to swear and take it. And she has to swear by holding a holy object. And also, although the halacha is that she doesn't have to, but if he's coming with a claim, then we make her swear. Now, but let's say his nesima, let's say she stipulated with him. She take the ksuba, so she'll be able to collect the ksuba without an oath. So even now he's saying, oh, I want you to swear and then take it. Or they made up shatein nemenz b'chomash shatit, and that she didn't believe whatever it is that she claims. For example, let's say if she'll be pagemis, that the halacha is she can only collect with an oath. But they made up before they got married that, no, you'll believe me whatever I say, that if I agree you paid me some, but I say you didn't pay me the rest, then I'll be able to collect it as it is, then give him a negotiable club, then she could collect without enough, because that's what they made up beforehand. But if she's coming to collect from his inheritors, because he died, then Tishava, then she first has to swear, because he only exempted her from litigation with him, if she's going to collect when he divorced her, when he's still alive. But regarding his inheritors, she would have to swear about that detail, then she could go ahead and collect. But halacha chav, let's say she stipulated beforehand, she's already a smart woman, she's a business, she knows, he might die. She made it with them that she collected the ksuba from even his inheritors without swearing. Or the other way, that she'll believe whatever it is that she's saying regarding the inheritors. So raising the test, but then she collected even from the inheritors without an oath. Aval, but here it cannot go further. In Baal Lidra, unless she's come to collect from his encumbered properties, which is properties that were sold to purchasers when the husband was alive after they got married, which are all meshubit and responsible for the payment of her ksuba, if there's no available properties by the husband, there she can only collect with an oath to the consumers, where just as where she has not received her ksuba yet. The avabishim and abal, and even though the husband trusted her, and he said that, yeah, you're not going to have to swear for the nechaz meshubah, it doesn't help. Because the stipulation of the husband only helps for himself or for his inheritors that are coming from him. I will have some mamachem, but the cause laws for other people who bought from the husband, that the husband's stipulation does not help. Now, the rabbi holds that whatever the husband actually did guarantee beforehand, even for what the consumer is going to buy, she could collect without an oath, because whoever's buying, it's his responsibility. And he knows that the husband gave this guarantee, and therefore he's causing a loss for himself. And therefore, yeah, the woman would even be able to collect from the kuches without a shvua. Halacha chafalaf. Amana widow shoyi shtar ksuba yitzim tachas yada. So she's coming with the document of the ksuba with her hands. So nishbas v'gebi ksuba sa lo'ilam. So she could swear and collect the ksuba as long as she wants to. even after 100 years. Because if it would have been that she was Meichel Ksuba to the Yershim, then she would have given them the document. The fact that she still has the document, she can still collect. Whether she's still in her husband's household, because she's the widow, she's not going anywhere. Or whether she left her husband's household and she went to live by her father, which the significance of that we'll see in Halacha Chaf Gimel. But regarding this widow, who has the Ksuba document, she could always collect it. Now, but the main but she doesn't have the actual Ksuba document in Laklum, then she doesn't have any rights. Even the primary Ksuba amount. And even she comes to claim it the day that her husband dies, because we're concerned that maybe she received the ksuba, maybe she was meichelet, maybe she gave him back the document. And the chenek grusha something applies to a divorcee. I feel like ksuba, unless she doesn't even get the primary ksuba when the husband claims I paid it or she was meichelet to me. But of course, if he's meida, of course, he would have to pay it. But if he denies it, she doesn't get anything until she actually produces the document of the ksuba. Now, halacha beis bamidbar, when did we say this? Is b'makom shedakam lichta ksuba, is in a place where the custom is that they write a ksuba. So if you don't have a ksuba, there's a reyes, and there's a flaw over here, and you don't get collect. Avo b'makom shedakam lichta ksuba, in the place where the custom is not to write a ksuba, rather they just rely on the stipulation of the court that you're going to have to give the amounts that the court made up. Harizik leiva ksuba, then she could collect her primary ksuba. Avo b'shem b'yodashtak ksuba, even though she doesn't have the dakam lichta ksuba, because they don't write a ksuba. Beinus Gershom, Beinus Amana, whether she's divorced or whether she was widowed. Beinus Bezbal, whether she's in her husband's house, is not around anymore. Beinus Bezabia, or whether she's in her father's household, because no one gets the Ksuba document, and we rely on the fact that she was widowed or divorced, that she gets that amount, until we have proof otherwise. Avatay Sevis Ein Lamacha Malka, but the addition she doesn't get El Beroy Beruda, unless with a clear cut proof, because that's not from the Tanai Bezdin, to say that even though it wasn't written, it's like the Ksuba, rather it's on his own goodwill that he's obligated, and since she doesn't have the Ksuba or some other proof, she's not believed. Now, Alach of Gimel. Now, up until when could the widow collect the primary obligation of the Ksuba? But Mokum Shein Kaisi Ksuba, again, and this is different than we said in the previous Halach of Aleph, here in the place where they don't write a Ksuba document. So here it depends, unlike there. If she's still living in her husband's household, then she could always collect it, because the fact that she was silent all along is not a proof that she was Mechel Ksuba. It's because they're honoring her, they provide for her, she gets whatever she has. She's embarrassed to go and say, oh, can you pay me the Ksuba? What do you mean? We provide everything that you need. So the fact that she's embarrassed is a reason, a rationale to explain why she hasn't collected, not because it's a sign that she was Mechel. But she's in her father's house, so she doesn't live with the orphans anymore. That's Adesam Chamashanim, and then only up until 25 years could she collect. But when Bolid Boy Achesam Chamashanim, she's coming to collect after 25 years, in Laklum, she doesn't have anything anymore. Because if it wasn't that, if she had not pardoned them that amount, she would not have been silent all this time. Because even if she's getting fed from the estate, but since they're not busy with her all the time because she lived with her father's household, she wouldn't have been embarrassed in 25 years, she would have collected her debt. And she doesn't live with the inheritors so that she could say, oh, I was embarrassed to come to claim it from them, they're with me without it, because not. She lived in my father's household, so there she gets a limitation of 25 years. Now, Allah of Dal, Lafikr, therefore, that is, since if at a time when she is embarrassed, when she's living with them, her silence is not a proof that she was Michael, so you could have a similar case. Let's say she was not with them. She was living by her father's household. But her son, the inheritor, her husband's son, himself would always come every day, bring the food to her father's household. And Metabal is busy with her. Then she could collect it even after 25 years. Because in this case, the fact that she was out and she didn't come to claim it, again, it's the same reason, because she's embarrassed from the inheritor, because every day he's so busy, he comes, he takes me. I was embarrassed. So it's not a proof, that's an indicator that Shemechan should collect even after 25 years. Now this is all regarding the Ksuba. But regarding the Nedunya, which we spoke about in the beginning of this parak of Nechse Meluga, Nechse Tzor and Basel, that's like a regular debt, where we always consider it as a debt, and not going to say automatically like a Mechila, so to a Grusha, that she collected Ksuba forever, which is like a regular debt, we're talking about here regarding an Almana, and that depends if there's a Ksuba document or not, and regarding if she lives in her father's household, or she lives with the Yersh. Now, Lacha Chafei, the Rambam continues regarding when the claims of, well, how much is the Ksuba? Because we're talking about in a place where they don't write a Ksuba. So here, she says, Besula Nisesi. I was married, I was a virgin, I was a Besula. So my primary Ksuba, which is the automatic minimum wage, is 200. The Bala Yesh, remember, the husband or his narrative, they say, let's say if she was widowed, the inheritors, they say, Be'ulanesses. No, she was married as a Be'ula, a non-virgin. And therefore she only gets 100. So, and we don't know because no ksuba document. So, im yesh edim shodo, so if there's witnesses that saw when she got married, she'aslam and hagis, that the customs that they did by the wedding, shenogo anche oisa ha'ir la'asais l'mesul, that they did certain customs that when they do a chasna for a besula, they did by her too, by her wedding, they remember and they have witnesses. For example, many simcha, certain types of festivities, like sarma, crowns, or malbush you do, or a certain type of well-known cloth, which the hinuma, which is a like the badeking that they put over her eyes. And because her eyes are covered, so she falls asleep, she gets drowsy, which hinuma is like because it's numa, falling asleep. Or other things that they only do for the chasna of a besula, for example, giving out certain roasted grain to the little children. So that's an indicator that she was a besula. So then she takes 200 dinar. Now, the main law, edim bazeh, but let's say there's no witnesses. We don't know, and there's no verification. Then tell us mana, then she's only going to take a mana because most women, you're right, are besula when they get married. But all women who get married to besula, the word is out there and we know about it. Here, since we don't hear a word about it, so that's a little bit of a flaw in that rive, and therefore we don't know, and therefore she cannot collect more than the money. Now, v'moya balkan, but if the husband was alive, let's say when he divorces her, then yeshla lahashbiya shvesata, and then she can make him swear a biblical oath, shari hoidim mixes tani, because he's agreeing, he's admitting to a partial of the claim. I mean, she's coming to collect 200, and he's saying, no, you're a bula, so you only get 100. Well, that's called moidim mixes, eschayv shumana taira, and therefore he has to swear regarding the other 100. Now, additionally, b'nemna katan lahoid begadla b'leima, a minor is believed to testify when he becomes an adult, that he is now able to testify and to say, Zachar ani, kashisa katan. I remember when I was a little boy, shenas l'plagis b'nei besulis, that they did for that woman the custom at her wedding, the way they usually do for besulis. And the reason for that is because since most women get married as a besula, so you don't really need a bona fide testimony, therefore, even though he was a minor then, he's believed to say this now. And b'chalad ram elis, everything we're talking about here is b'makom shein kaseh ksuba, is k'mer shmana, is only talking about a place where they don't write a ksuba, because obviously, to write a ksuba, just looking at the ksuba, it's going to tell us how much was written, if she's besula or b'ula, if it's 100 or 200, if not for the fact that the ksuba got lost, or if the Yerushim claim that that's regarding, so then you wouldn't know exactly. But in general, this halacha is only applicable if they don't write a ksuba. Now, halacha vav moves on to another claim that's made, which relates to that of the if there is a ksuba here to be collected. If the woman tells her husband, Girish Tami, you divorced me. Nemen, she's believed. And why is she believed? Because she wouldn't have the audacity to say such a thing to her husband. Therefore, so if a woman, the ramification is like this. So a woman comes with her ksuba document, but she doesn't have a get. She tells her husband, Girish Tami, which again she's believed to say, you divorced me. Vavagiti, so where's your get? I lost my get. So ten ksubasi, give me my ksuba, which I should bring her ksuba document. But says, like a reshtach, I didn't even divorce you. What are you talking about? Chayv litna, he has to give her the minimum amount of the ksuba, which she's bringing the document with, because she's believed to say she's divorced. Aval in this lahat tesef, but he does not have to give her the additions that are written in the ksuba. I should tell you, shagirsha, until she brings proof that he divorced her, oh, she eats a get the ksuba, or that she produces, together with the ksuba, her get, then she's going to be believed regarding the tesefes. But regarding the tesefes, she's not believed. Not the Raiva, as Mastika the Rambam, and he says, wait a second, if a woman would not have the audacity, and we believe her that she's divorced, as if she's bringing a get, so why wouldn't she be believed regarding the tesefes too? What do you mean? We know she's divorced, and the ksuba says additions too. Additionally, he disagrees in the Rambam, and he holds that actually she's not believed to collect her ksuba. And she's also not even believed to even get married to someone else. It's only if she gets married that loitates it, that we're not going to make her get divorced. And because if you're going to say that the woman could initially get married to someone else, so he says, no woman's going to remain married. Every woman will just come along and say, yeah, he divorced me. Now, the Magen Mishnah, however, resolves the Rambam, and he responds, he says, he brings many proofs from Shas to the Rambam Shita. Now, regarding the Rambam's question of, wait a second, that she should also get the Tesefes, so the Magen Mishnah responds, he says that, we don't find any time that the husband forcibly has to divorce her, where he's counterclaiming, say, I didn't divorce you. We don't find that he should have to give the tesefes. Because as the Rambam had said previously in Perek Tezvav, it's only, he didn't give it to her to leave on her own. He only gives it to her when he willingly divorces her. Regarding what the Rabbit is masig, then no woman's going to ever be married to her husband. They'll always come along and claim that I was divorced. So the Megillah wonders, he says, what do you mean? A Jewish woman, how would she have the audacity One of the signs of a Jewish person is Baishanim. So we wouldn't suspect such a thing. What do you mean no one's going to stay married? To the contrary, the reason why, because we presume that no one would ever do that, that is why we actually believe her. And therefore, it's not something we have to suspect that any woman is going to do such a thing. Halach Chav Zayin, the Rambam continues, says, Amal HaBal. Let's say the husband says to her, Kachaya, you're right. This is what happened. Girashti, I did divorce you. You're right. V'nesati lo kalak suba, ikavet suba. But I gave you, I already paid up your suba, the primary and the dish. Now, the fact that you have a ksuba, why don't I have it? Because v'chasli shavir, you had written me a receipt, so I didn't need the ksuba, I have the receipt. But v'avet shavari, I lost my receipt. So it says Ram like this, because he could say, lo girashti, he could say, I didn't divorce you, as we said in the previous halacha. And as the Rambam Shita is, he would not be obligated in the additions. So Neman, regarding that, he's believed. And therefore, so he can make her swear with the holding of a holy object regarding the Ikr Ksuba, which, like we said, he can make her swear. But he has to give her the primary. But then he swears a rabbinic oath on the additions because she's making a definite claim and he's denying. So he has to make a, even though he's denying the whole thing, he has to make a Shavuos Heses because since he would believe to say that I didn't divorce her, he wouldn't have to give it to the Tosefes. So now even when he's admitting that he divorced her, but he's saying that he already paid her, so he could swear and be exempt on the Tosefes. Halacha Chaf Ches. Let's say it's a get. Let's say she produces a get. Then be other shtag suba, but she doesn't have the document of the ksuba. So im derech leizem malkim shleich ksuba. If that's the custom of the places that they don't write a ksuba, so goyve ikka ksuba, so begesh be other. So she can collect the primary amount of the ksuba with the get that she's producing, because we know she's divorced, and the fact she doesn't have a ksuba, well, they don't write a ksuba there anyway. And he's not believed to say, oh, that we didn't do like the minigam malkim, I did write a ksuba, she has to produce a ksuba. He's not believed, if she could collect a ksuba. Now, v'mdakam lichtik ksuba, if the custom is in that place to write a ksuba, afila ikrenla, then she doesn't even get the primary ksuba, atchotetzer shal ksuba, until she produces the document of the ksuba, because he could say that if I would pair up right now, maybe after I'm going to die, she's going to produce the ksuba again, and she's going to collect as a widow again, to say, oh, that I wasn't divorced, and I didn't collect. So, therefore, she cannot collect anything until she produces the document of the ksuba, k'mash b'arnu, like we explained previously in Halacha Chaf Alf. Now, v'nishba ba'al shpus hes al tanasa. But then the husband swears the rabbinic oath on her claim. And for Nifter, he's going to be exempt again because she's not producing the ksuba in a place where they usually write a ksuba. Now, the Rambam continues over here regarding what's if there's more than one document over here regarding the collection of a ksuba as it applies to the documents of the get and of that of the ksuba. Halachav test. Let's say she produces two divorce documents with two ksubas, which is that he divorced her twice. And the time of the first ksuba is before the first get, and the time of the second ksuba is before the second get. So Gavish takes ksubas, so she collects two ksubas, because he married her twice with ksubas. Let's say Tzirish takes ksubas of a get, let's say she produces two ksubas with one get. Now, the time of both of those ksubas is before that one get. So it comes out that he really only divorced her once, and he had previously written two different ksubas. So in the Gavish Ela ksuba achas, she only collects one ksuba, not both the ksubas. Now, Vezman Gaiva, which ksuba does she collect from? So it depends. Interesting in Shabbos, if they're both the same amount, so Bitla Khoin is referring that the later one is nullifying the original one. Vein the Ternefes Illa, and so she could only collect, and from the Lakuches, who bought from the husband who's divorcing her, El Mazman Akhoina, from the later date. Now, that's why he wrote her a second ksuba, because it's the same amount, why is he writing a second ksuba? So that she should be Meichel on the Shibud of the first ksuba, and whatever the Lakuches had bought between the first ksuba and the second ksuba is not going to be Shibud, Tarek ksuba, whatever it is, let's say a friend of his had bought, and he doesn't want that friend to be obligated to his wife, so he wrote her a new ksuba. Now, v'mhoye ba'achas mishtein, and that's what we could presume, because it's the same amount, why would he have written a second one? It's for that purpose. But let's say v'mhoye ba'achas mishtein tosefes achavetim, let's say one of the ksubas is actually increasing the amount of the ksuba than it was on the first one, so he's writing a greater dollar amount. Then Gavi Bezman Shatirza, then she collect whichever one she wants to. Meaning, if she wants to collect from the one that has the greater amount, she'd only be able to collect from the later date, which is not going to have those lakuchas that bought before it. If she wants to collect from the first date, then she's not going to get the greater amount from the second one. And then Betibat Lashneya, whichever was the other one, will be nullified. But she only collect one ksuba. Halacha Lamet. Haitziya Shnei Gitnu Ksuba Achas. If she produces two divorce documents and one ksuba, meaning after he divorced her, he married her a second time, but he did not write another ksuba. So she, for some reason, did not collect her first ksuba. And she's already getting divorced a second time. That's why she has two gitna, one ksuba. In la ksuba acha, she only have to collect one ksuba. Why? She got divorced two times. Because when someone divorces his wife, and then he remarries her without specifying anything, without writing a new ksuba, and she had not yet collected her first ksuba, the reason why he remarried her was with the intention of only to now pay back that original ksuba. I'm not giving you another ksuba, we're getting remarried, but it'll be that same amount. Now let's say she produces a get and a ksuba achar misas haba. So the husband's dead over here. So essentially what happened was is that he divorced her, he remarried her, and then he died. So here it depends. And this is what we're trying to figure out, like more like a detective type, what exactly happened. And that when she bring all the documentations, we're trying to make sense of what it is. And that's why all these halakhas are different. So here, im get kaidim like ksuba, if the get was written before the ksuba, meaning, so obviously, that ksuba was written for the second when they got remarried, because the get is before the ksuba. So then, gave the get zeh, ik ksuba. So then, with the get, she could collect her primary ksuba. Im ein dakim lich ksuba. If they don't usually write a ksuba, so the get itself gives her the rights to collect the that amount because they don't write a ksuba over there. And but then the this ksuba, which was written for the when they got remarried the second time, she could collect whatever's in that ksuba. Sorry, zasa b'misasa, because she married that when he died, because the original ksuba wasn't with the second marriage because the original one didn't have one. But if they don't write one, so she collect the ksuba. Then the second one, where he wrote one, then whatever's in there, she collect from the fact that she the marriage got dissolved the second time when he died. Now, but the ksuba kadma es aged. But if the ksuba was before the get, meaning when they actually got remarried a second time, he didn't write her ksuba. The ksuba was there from the first marriage when he divorced her because it was written before the get. Then ela ksuba achas, like we said before, then she only gets one ksuba. Shak ksuba sur shayin ksuba, because it was based on the first ksuba that he remarried her and then he died, so she's only going to get that one ksuba. Now, the Rambam concludes Halacha Lamed Aleph over here regarding a woman who says and states the claim that my husband died, which again is all about collecting ksuba. Aisha Nemenes Lema, a woman is believed to say Meis Bali, my husband died, which is unique Halacha Kadesh Nasi that she should be able to get remarried. Kemishes Bar Belachas Gerushin, like Rambam explained in Halachas Gerushin in the 12th parak, which is a woman's belief to say my husband died and she could get remarried, and that was so that she should be able to get remarried. Umitnoya ksuba. Now the stipulation of the ksuba is. And this is what's implicit, and therefore it's going to have a consequential halacha. In the ksuba it says, "Shem tinasa la'achar ha'maisa," that if she's going to get remarried after he dies, "Titul komash ha'kazla b'ksuba," so she's going to be able to take whatever is in the ksuba. Now, although that money could only be collected with the testimony of two witnesses, and here there's no witnesses besides her, but still, she's going to be able to collect her ksuba because in the ksuba it says, "Im tinasa la'achar," to get married to someone else, "Titli mash ha'kazla la'achar," you're going to be able to take whatever for you, and she's able to get remarried. So the figure, therefore, in Bola Besna Ma'amim, she comes to court and she says, "Meis Bali, my husband died. Hatirun Linasi permit me to get remarried," which is the halacha. V'lohi skirshim ksuba. And she doesn't mention about collecting ksuba. So matina asil nasi. So based on the halacha of a woman's husband dying, so because of iguna, we permit her to get remarried. But and the mashbina, so now we make her swear what's called the shvuas hamana, the widow's oath, that yeah, he didn't leave her anything, and she wasn't meichel ksuba like we said before in halacha daled. And but then with this like ksuba, we give her the ksuba because it's a consequential. If you're getting remarried, then you collect the ksuba. But we make her swear. Now, Bava, let's say she comes and she says, "Meis Bali, my husband died. Tnuli es ksubasi." She's coming to claim the ksuba. Then afli nasi matunas. Then even for her to get remarried, which a woman is believed, even that we don't permit her. Shalis get ksuba, because what's she coming really for? To collect the ksuba. We have a presumption that he's not dead. What? My husband died. Why would we think so? So if you're coming to say that he's dead, you want to get remarried. So for that leniency to get remarried, we let that. But to collect the ksuba, no, we have a chazaka that he's not dead. She doesn't even intend to get remarried. All she wants to do, even though he's alive, is to get the monies out of him. So we don't believe her. But Bava, let's say she comes and she says, both. Meis Bali, my husband died. Hatirun Linasi, first of all, let me get remarried. Usnuli es kisabazi, and so we give him my ksuba. So here, Matir Nasi Linasi, we've permitted to get remarried. But and we give her the ksuba. Because her primary words were about we're getting married. Secondary, she said the ksuba, so we give her that too, as we said when she only mentions getting remarried. If she comes and she says, "Tnuli es ksubasi, vatiruni lenasi," let's say she first says, "Give me my ksuba and let me get remarried." So materialized, we permitted to get remarried, but ve'enas like ksuba, but we don't give her the ksuba. But v'intafse, but if she already grabbed it, she already took possession of her ksuba amount, imutimiyada, then we're not going to take it away from her because this case we're really in doubt. If it's coming, if she was coming because of the ksuba, and that's why she first said tnuk sabasi, and therefore she has no rights to it, or she really primarily coming to get remarried, it's that she doesn't know how to organize her words first. So this is what's called a suffix shabamamin. So regarding suffix shabamamin, we don't let you get it because you have to bring the proof, but if you already took it, we don't take it away from you because maybe she does have rights, and therefore we don't take it away from her. Now, although that we don't really give her the ksuba, but we are going to let her get remarried because that's based on the halacha. The woman's believed to say, my husband died, because we have a chazaka that a woman would not ruin herself, because if her husband is really still alive and he's going to come back, she may fit into the first husband and the second husband. So we believe her. And any doubt that we have regarding her words, we say, subject to Rabbanan, and it's going to be lakula. So therefore, we let her get remarried. And regarding this of her collecting suba, initially not, but if she took it, then she could keep it.